Okay, I'll just do my little line here. Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. Our guests today on Let's Talk Pella are Mike and Dan DeCook. And, fellas, you have a very special, very fun event coming up at some property. This is going to air Monday, so we can say a very special event coming up today. And what can you tell us about it?
Well, it's on a wetland that my folks, Mark and Kay DeCook, mm-hmm. own down between La Villa and Attica. Mm-hmm. And we've restored it probably 6 years ago, and it used to be a crop ground that used to flood a lot, and we used to kind of battle that and thought that would be a good place to put a wetland, and we had a kind of a good feeling that it's, I think Iowa's lost like 99% of their wetlands, and it was kind of a fun thing to return to wetland.
It's just sort of a fun side project for land that wasn't quite as productive as it could be for the other uses?
Well, yeah. We just had a lot of flooding issues on the land, mm-hmm. and so we decided to put it into the WRP program through the federal government, mm-hmm. and then we seeded it. We made some wetland basins and then seeded it down to a native prairie mix we got from Carl Kurtz.
Okay. So as we were speaking before we started, there's been a pretty significant turnaround in the way this land behaves and the sorts of things that it can support with this change. What can you tell us about that?
It's been fun to see the transformation. Obviously, you know, where appropriate, it's great to have corn and beans, but with the regular flooding, it was fun to see the diversity of wildlife and animals that returned. We got river otter now, and lots of waterfowl. And sometimes we go down there in the spring and fall, and you'll see just flocks of ducks that darken the sky. It's kind of fun, and pelicans, and we actually did have one trumpeter swan. My brother Mike saw
one trumpeter, wild trumpeter swan last year that was bonded with a pair of Canadian geese.
Okay.
And we don't know if he lost his mate or didn't find one.
But he's going to have a pair of friends coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that'll be good.
And again, as we were talking before, with all this rich diversity, it kind of speaks volumes as to the sort of original intent of that land, what it was sort of originally designed for, if all those things can come back so quickly.
Well, it's fun to think if you're just a hunter, or if I think a Native American would see that land, they'd see a diversity of food. It would be like a smorgasbord, basically, with cattails and all the forbs and waterfowl that have come back. Pretty exciting.
And the other thing about the wetlands that with our floods in 08 and, I guess, in 2010, that they're needed for flood prevention. They kind of, you know, the water will come out of the river and then it will saturate the soil. And, you know, nowadays most of Iowa, you know, we try to get that water as quickly off fields as possible into rivers. And wetlands are very important for reducing flooding and slowing stream velocities. And
the whole extent, there used to be tiles that dumped right into the North Cedar Creek. And now all those tiles were removed, and so it really slows, as Mike said, the velocity, and so the water quality's improved, and hopefully less flooding downstream for farmers that are downstream.
And they sort of act like a big sponge for the area.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay. Exactly. So what kind of work went into, you know, we're talking about removing tiles and all this different changes, what kind of work went into the transformation?
Good help from the Brackens.
Yeah, from Trent Bracken. He was the one that did it all. But we just tried to get it to look as natural as possible. We wanted it to look like...
And we felt it was really important to bring back the native vegetation, and one way to do that is to really be particular about what seed you buy. And it was very important to us to buy local ecotype Iowa seed that came from remnant prairies in that area.
With a lot of diversity.
A lot of diversity, because the more forbs and grasses you bring back, the more chance of a really diverse, great mix that attracts a big mix of wildlife.
Makes sort of a bigger menu for the wildlife.
Yeah.
And the prairie seed was from Carl Kurtz, and he originally got it from the Doolittle Prairie, which is in Story County, which is kind of a... not really, kind of a lower prairie, so it kind of fit the, so it was a couple counties away was the origin of the seed.
And with prairie, every year it gets better and better. In fact, we just burned it this spring, or portions of it this spring. Mm-hmm. It's been a wet spring, but it will be fun to see more come after the burn.
How many different types of seeds have you laid out there?
Seeds?
Mm-hmm.
Well, There's probably, I mean, in Carl's mix, there's probably, you know, over 100 species.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of guarantees maybe 50 or 60. But we've probably seen, you know, 40 or 50 already.
So that's pretty good turnout to just be able to throw those seeds out and watch them spring to life in so many different varieties.
You don't get a mature forest overnight. You don't get a mature prairie overnight either.
Maybe a little bit quicker than
a forest. Yeah, a little bit quicker.
So what's been something, I have to imagine this has been kind of rewarding to see the land be able to make this change and support all this different wildlife and different plant life.
Most definitely. Most definitely. We go out there quite frequently and canoe the wetlands and take our binoculars, and there's a little bluff that overlooks a good portion of the pools, and it's just fun. I remember last year we went out there, and I hadn't seen a river otter on our farm until we brought back the wetlands, and I think for a half hour just watched it play on its back and swim and go on shore and go back in the water, and that was pretty exciting entertainment.
Just all sorts of things you'd never see, right?
Yeah. So definitely.
We kind of a little different subject. We kind of have a philosophy we call wild country ranching, and it's kind of a mixture of our passion of wilderness and open space and wild lands, and then we try to kind of fuse that with ecological grass-based agriculture.
Okay.
And it's kind of a rewarding thing to do, I guess.
Most definitely.
So, and I understand there's been the two things you were just talking about, a confluence of those things, and bison is something that's on the horizon for this area as well.
Yeah. We were an organic grazing farm or ranch, and we were producing organic grass-fed beef, and now we're going to switch to organic grass-fed bison. We'll still do a little bit of beef here and there, probably some cattle, but our main focus is going to be bison. Kind of looking forward to bringing back the native Iowa herbivore.
My brother is the ranch manager, and he was trying to mimic with cattle what bison do naturally, and one day he said, well, why don't we just do bison? So
bison would... They kind of herd in, you know, pretty big groups and then move frequently, and that's how we were trying to do with cattle. Like, I'd move them daily, you know, kind of a big mob, and then move them daily, because it's really beneficial to the grassland ecosystem by doing that.
And one of those signs that all those varieties of life are sort of designed to work together. You know, the grasses react well to the bison on it, and the bison love that kind of grass and things like that.
Definitely.
It's just amazing with all the free benefits that you get if you follow the natural system.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I mean, our soils are improving without a lot of inputs. We just have phenomenal grassland birds.
We saw our first cattle egret, and the cattle egret are beneficial to animals by taking the insects off the cows.
And what are those called again?
They're cattle egrets they're an egret, a white kind of bird that hang out with cattle that kind of...
Keep them clean, it sounds like.
Yeah, clean.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And we're hoping for dung beetles.
We got a lot of dung beetles, which is just all kinds of cool things are happening. We see a lot of, bird-wise, we see a lot of harriers, and now we're seeing some short-eared owls, which are both kind of threatened species in Iowa, and they just need big grassland ecosystems. And
the bobolink is a real common grassland bird on the ranch, too, which is a bit more threatened in the state. So,
yeah. So I can sense your guys' passion about all this rich wildlife and all these things that come from this style of agricultural production. Has this been a theme your whole life? Did you come from a background of conventional farming and then decide to switch, or?
Well, I think our folks taught us the importance of stewardship. We're only here for a short while, and we can do what we can while we're here, and hopefully leave the earth a little better place than how we got it.
Sure.
One thing that I mean, our place out there—it's a working ranch. It's not a hobby farm. I mean, we're actually making our living from the place, and so we make we try to make. We call it an ecological profit. You know, we want to, you know, you know, some things we would never do. We'd never develop any land. I mean, that would be our number one thing, but we try to do things that are ecological and sustainable and environmental. and yet make a living from that.
And still be productive commercially.
Yeah, it's important, you know, to take out horses and look at viewscapes that are wild and unencumbered by buildings. And so we've done a lot of undevelopment, which is kind of fun.
Undevelopment, I like that term.
Rewilding, yes.
Yeah. Is it more difficult to do things this way than in a more conventional way that's scale? And
there's pluses to it in an economic sense, too, because you think of all the taxes you pay on unneeded buildings. And if you can remove those buildings...
And if you don't need them and you can use what nature provides you for free, it makes sense economically and to us ecologically because, you know, we really promote open space. And so, you know, unfortunately, some part of the world, you know, it's getting a lot of development pressure. And we're just trying to keep a good chunk wild, yet make a living off the land.
Is that anything that you guys have run into, is feeling that pressure to convert the land for some other use that isn't what your ideals are, perhaps?
Not yet. I think the philosophy is called holistic management, and letting the animals do the work instead of buying equipment that needs fossil fuels and things.
We definitely
like that.
Are a grazing operation, and it's... I mean that's how we try to get our feed into our animals.
Keep your expenses low and your ecological profit high, hopefully. Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys have a pretty well mapped out vision of what you are and what you'd like to become yet.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
Did we talk about Mark DeCook being the cow boss?
Better throw Dad's name in there, too, right?
And Kay,
we couldn't have done this without our folks, because they own the land, and they've been very generous on kind of letting us kind of dictate on where the ranch will go. And Dad and Mom both come out and work out there a lot. Dad now is now retired, and he calls himself a ranch hand now.
They've been a huge help, actually.
Oh, yeah. So they both enjoy going out there, so it's been a...
And that has to be beneficial, too, to have that extra experience to come back in and...
Definitely. Dad was raised on a farm, and Mom was raised in Pella, and it's fun for him to be involved in agriculture during his retirement, especially.
Yeah. Kind of takes him back to childhood a little bit.
Yeah. Most
makes
definitely.
It less work.
Yeah.
He told me he always wanted, when he was a kid, he grew up on a farm like Dan said, but he always wanted kind of a big cattle ranch. Big grass. So he's kind of fulfilling his dream out there.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out today, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.